Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Kufnun Zayin. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Kufnun Vav Amud Beit. B'chatchinat ha-deluin lifnei ha-behimah v'ta-nevela lifnei ha-kelavim. We finally get to this. We've discussed this so many times, this issue, in terms of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And now that we're dealing with the aspects of how it is that we're supposed to take care of our behimah, and the inyanim of Mechamer and Shvisas Behema. So we're already getting, as we started before, to how to deal with the food for the Behema. And this now gets us to elements of Muktzah Lagabi Behema, because these two things, the pumpkins and the nevela, are things that would have been ro'ui for an Adam before, and now we want to give them to Behema. And if you hold that Roy Lebehema, Adam is not Roy Lebehema, so then we'd be dealing with an Eino Min HaMuchan. The Nevela, of course, is the same thing, especially if you hold that we're talking about a Nevela that died only afterwards on Shabbos. So then you'd have to explain that it would be Roy LeKlavim before, even if it was alive, because you could, as Tosu says, you could give it alive to a Kelev. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meloita Nevela Merav Shabbat Asura Lafisha Eina Min HaMuchan. There's no way that it could ever be okay unless it was Miyuchat for Behema before Shabbos. And of course, even though he doesn't state it, he's also arguing on the case of the pumpkins. Itma Omar Ula Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda V'Avrav Savar Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Well, let's get down to the bottom over here, because we've got this entire machlok has been running through the whole Masechet. So finally, Ula comes out to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that we paskin muktzah. Rav apparently also holds halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Why do I say that? From the case of Minikarchi Dezuzi, Rav asserted the cases of where we had these very large canvas covers for the containers on a ship to protect them from damage and water damage. And he held you weren't allowed to use them for other things because they were miyuchad for that. And therefore, there ain't no min amuchan. So he obviously paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, where Shmuel was matir those same things. Zuzi means boats in Aramaic. The Avlevi Savar Halachak Rabbi Yehuda. This is, by the way, Orel. You'll notice the weird simon, Orel Shachas. So the Orel is Ula and Rav and Levi. Pretty nasty way of referring to that, but okay. So, also we find Levi paskening like Rabbi Yehuda because of the Maisa, that every single time that Levi would have a shaila that somebody would bring him on Shabbos about whether an animal, maybe they saw treifa in the animal, they would bring it to Levi or on Yontif, so he would not look at it unless he was standing on an actual garbage dump because he didn't want to have the problem of moving it afterwards. And because of that, obviously, he held that it wasn't Roy Leklavi. So if they brought a tray for the Kamebiumatova, he refused to look at it, Elakiyati Vakakilta, unless he was on the garbage dump, because he would always say, look, what happens if it turns out not to be kosher? So Dioma Lomit Kashra, and then it won't even be Roy Leklavi. But that's only true. Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Veshmuel Omar, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. And Ziri also holds Halacha Rabbi Shimon. Ditnan behima shemeta lo yizizena mimekuma. It says over there in the Mishnah Beit so that you're not allowed to even move an animal that died on its own, which doesn't make sense unless we hold it's not muchan leklavim. So Ziri explained, yes, but that's referring to a behemas kachim that died. A behemas kachim is aser ba'anon. Because of that, enochinami, everybody is beta that you can't move it. But if it would be chulin, then Shapir Dami would be allowed to move it because we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So obviously, Ziri holds like Rabbi Shimon. And in fact, even Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Shimon. What? How can Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Shimon? I thought Rabbi Yochanan always paskins that Halach is Stam Mishnah. And we certainly know that the Stam Mishnah is Vitznan. And this is the Mishnah in Beitza, that Ein Mevakin Etzim Min HaKorot. So if you had some korah of a beam, this is talking about over here, a stack of korot. So you were going to be using it for building purposes. You're not allowed to make wood from that for your fireplace. And lo min HaKorah shenishbara, nor from a beam that had been in use and that broke. So this thing, normally, if a beam breaks, obviously it's good for firewood. Problem is, at the beginning of Yontif, it was whole. So then that would mean that it's eino min hamukhan. So it says over there, beferish, like Rabbi Yehuda. So how do you explain that Rabbi Yochanan would have said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon? And that's not a Mishnah that gives anybody's opinion. It's just a Stam Mishnah. Says the Gemara, maybe you think it's a Stam Mishnah, but Rabbi Yochanan, when he learned that Mishnah, he quoted it in the name of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So the end of the Mishnah said, Divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, in which case it definitely was not a Stam Mishnah. Okay, but there, I mean, there's other Stam Mishnahs that go according to Rabbi Yehuda. How about this? Tashma. We've got this Mishnah also in Beitza. Matchilin ba'arimat ha-tevin. If you got this stack of straw, so you're allowed to start using it and take some of it away, even though we're assuming straw would normally be used for ma'achal behima, and you're allowed to take some of that, but you're not allowed to take the etzim shebemukta. So at this point, we're assuming that we're talking about straw that is no longer useful, and that's why I want to burn it. It's no longer useful for the feed because it's not in good shape. So therefore, Alibra Rabbi Yehuda, it would be before Yontif was already considered to be mukhan for burning. Masha enkein etzim shebemukta, a mukta is, of course, as its name implies, a place where you set things aside for later usage. That's usually in your backyard. You'll put away things for long-term use, so like firewood and so on. So if you had etzim that was put aside, and that, these are things you put aside to use in the winter. You're not planning on using it for fuel in your stove. And therefore, alibi de Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to use it, which, of course, only makes sense. Alibi de Rabbi Yehuda, how could this go according to Rabbi Shimon? And this is a Stam Mishnah. And Rabbi Yochanan seems to be posking against it. No. It depends what kind of wood. What we're talking about over here is the guy put aside some arze and ashuche. So arze and ashuche are very expensive woods. They're basically the same wood. One is the male and one is the female of the era. So it's a type of cedar. And this is expensive wood. And that people would put away. And that, of course, even Rabbi Shimon would be made it to. Because that would be mukta machmas chisaron kis. So there again, no problem. Okay, but there's other Mishnayos that run against us. How about the Mishnah, another Mishnah in Beitza? Ein mashkin mishochtin tamid bariot. We actually talked about this Mishnah before. You're not allowed to, remember they used to give a drink of water before Shechita. Don't think that that was a romantic last meal, like giving a cigarette to the behema. It actually was pretty cynical because giving that last drink of water made it easier to skin the animal. That's almost as bad as the KGB making you pay for the bullet, you know. But anyway, so we would give them a drink of water, but obviously the word mashkin is not important to the halakha over here. You can always give an animal a drink. But anyway, so ein mashkin v'shochtin, since that usually goes hand in hand, we put it hand in hand. So you don't count water and shecht an animal that is free ranging, because since it's free ranging, so it's not considered to be mukhan. You haven't brought it indoors. But you would be allowed to be mashkin v'shochtin at abayatot if you've got animals that live in the house, in the local barn. So then that's, they're not free ranging, so they're always considered to be mukhan. If we're talking about mukhan, so then we're going alibi Rabbi Yehuda. So how could Rabbi Yochanan ignore that Mishnah? Well, you're right. However, Rabbi Yochanan actually found another Stam Mishnah. Now, the truth is, it isn't really a Stam Mishnah. It's only the equivalent of a Stam Mishnah. And what do I mean? Because where we have a machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, the Shita of Beit Hillel is always viewed as the equivalent of a Stam Mishnah. Because as we say, Beit Shammai, B'mokam, Beit Hillel ain't a Mishnah. And therefore, based on the machlokas that we had before between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, together with the redaction of that Mishnah, according to Reb Nachman, remember where he said we got the Mishnah backwards and it's really lano ein lano ella. So based on that Mishnah, he was semich on that Stama Mishnah, since it's Rebbe Tzila. So Rabbi Yochanan Stoma Achrina Ashkach, which was going on Libra Rabbi Shimon, namely, Beit Shammai Omri Magbiin Ma'al HaShulchan Atzamot Uklipin. So according to Beit Shammai's, you're allowed to move atzamot v'klipin me'agabe ha'shulchan. And remember that Aliba de Reb Nachman, we inverted that. And it was Beit Hillel omrim misaleket ha'tabla kula menara, that you have to lift up the entire thing and shake it off. And Omer Reb Nachman, anu ein lanu ela Beit Shammai k'Reb Yehuda, u'Beit Hillel k'Reb Shimon. So since in the end we have the shita of Beit Hillel, Aliba de Reb Shimon, we paskin like that, and Rabbi Yochanan, therefore, didn't worry about the other Stam Mishnah, and it was not a kash on him. So we have these three shitas about the paskining, one like Rabbi Yehuda, three shitas paskining like Rabbi Shimon. There were also some other different cases, specific cases, like Rav Ach and Ravina had a machlokas b'chlal about certain cases where we might paskin against Rabbi Shimon. So pligi bo Rav Ach and Ravina, Chadomar, the truth is, all of the dinim that we have in Shabbos, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And that would include even all of the complicated halachas about Dovah Shenem is Kavin and so on and so forth, throughout Mukts, except for one case. And that is the case of Mukts with Machmas Mius, that over there, when something is disgusting, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And what is that case? That was the case, remember? With the case that started everything off, the case of a Ner Yashan, where we have an old Kli Cheres that becomes very disgusting if it's used for burning. And because of that, we had that early Machlokas about whether that's considered to be Muktzah simply because of the fact that it's too disgusting for me to handle. V'chad Omar, either of Akhravina argued it, said no. Even Muktzah Machmas Mias, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that it's not considered to be Muktzah. The only time that we've got a problem is Muktzah Machmas Isser. What's that case? That's the case of the Mishnah, where you were Madlik the Ner Bota Shabbat. So over there, since you were Doicha that Ner Biyadayim, and you actually were the one who made it unusable by lighting it, and then even though it had gone out, there it's considered to be Muktzah, Machmas Isser. So that case, we do paskin. And therefore, even afterwards, when it goes out, it remains Usser. But when it comes to Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis, even Rabbi Shimon is made there. That's one case Rabbi Shimon holds, setting something aside because of the fact that I don't want it to be used for anything else because it's too expensive to be ruined by the kids. So over there, even Rabbi Shimon is made it, because that we also learned in the Mishnah before. Kol ha-kelim nitalim b'Shabbat. In the end, we said, you're allowed to move even a kli shemalach to l'yisr, if it's the tzorach gufo, and the tzorach mekomo, and therefore it's not mukhan, unless we're talking about a masar ha-gadol, which is a professional large saw, or a yateit shel ha-macharisha, as Rashi says, the coulter of the, and that's still the word that's used, the word that Rashi uses. So the coulter of the b'charisha, which is the part that actually is goes into the ground, it's like the knife. And that is really expensive if it gets ruined. It's like Richie's propeller. He's always careful about that propeller, and he's very careful never to use it on Shabbos. So as you can see, it's Muktzah Machmas. Machmas Chisaron Kis, there may be some other issues involved. So over there, we indeed will paskin that it is us. Interesting question over here about whether does this necessarily have to revolve around the fundamental question of whether it's Muktzah Machmas Isser, or does it revolve around the issue of whether Kivan Di Iskatzoy L'Bein HaShmashot, Itkatzoy L'Kula Yuma. Because as long as you're using it, so then you're not going to move it because of the Isser, not because of necessarily Muktzah, but you weren't able to move it because of the Isser. Tosfos talks about how the Gemara really is certain that it's because we're paskening like Rabbi Shimon. Maybe it's just that Rabbi Yochanan was paskening Kivan Di Iskatzoy. Okay. To continue now with our dear Richie. So we get into the question of whether we are allowed to do things in our last list of Uvda Dechol. Uvda Dechol things include things like taking measurements and how about different dinim? You're not supposed to do dinim on Shabbos. And what about doing Hatarat Nedarim or doing Hafarat Nedarim? So these things can end up getting in your way on Shabbos very seriously. So the issue, of course, would be a difference as to whether, I mean, what is a person supposed to do who made a neder and forgot to be matur his neder before Shabbos that he's not going to be eating cholent? What's going to happen to his Shabbos? So the question is, and what about if your wife makes a neder? She's not going to be eating cholent. That's really a disaster. That would require hafarat nedarim. So there says the Mishnah, you can do hafarat nedarim. Remember, the lashon of hafara is a husband to wife or a father to daughter. So there you do not say hatara, because you're not being matir the neder. You're actually annulling it from the beginning, and that's called hafara. So you can do hafarat nedarim, and you could even go to a chacham or to a beis din of shalosh, and you can be shoel on a neder if that neder needs to be changed because of Shabbos. So it's like a neder about cholent. Now, it's not at all clear whether those words, Litzorach HaShabbat, go all the way back on the beginning, which is Mefiri Nedarim, or whether it's only going back on the Nish'alim, the Nedarim. Now, what would be the difference? The difference is very simple. How much time is available to do Hafarat Nedarim? So we know that the Torah says, well, the time that you have available is Biyom Shomo. The question is, what does Biyom Shomo mean? Does Biyom Shomo mean 24 hours? If it means 24 hours, so then if it's a neder that you found out about on Shabbat, and it has nothing to do with Shabbat, so wait till after Shabbat, right? If, however, it means Biyom Shomo till the end of the day that you heard it on, no matter how much time is available, so then the need to be matir the neder, to be mefer, I should say the neder, would be absolute, no matter what the neder was about, because the only way that I'm able to do afara, which is a mitzvah for me to get rid of these nedarim, would be by doing it on Shabbos, because by the time it's after Shabbos, it's also after the time of afara. So that will be the determining factor about whether the words Litzorach HaShabbat go all the way back to the beginning, or whether they only are talking about the latter case of Nishalim Lindadarim B'Shabbat. Now, we also spoke about before the big machlok is about whether you're allowed to put on a shutter. So remember that according to Rabbi Eliezer, we had that whole aloha. It's got to be hanging by the window and it's be hanging down. It can't be touching the ground. The Mishnah over here says the halacha is like the chachomi. Pokakina tamaor. You can just put in a shutter into a window. It does not have to be attached. And you can measure a rag. Why would I want to measure a rag? Because I need to know if it's shalosh al shalosh etzbos. Remember, everybody who's been learning this has been learning Kalim at the same time, undoubtedly. So if you wanted to know if you were metame something, and this rag came into contact with food, so you'd have to measure it to see whether it was a size to be maver tuma. And you can also even measure a mikvah to see whether it has arboim sah. It's very easy to measure arboim sah, because arboim sah is actually three amas by one amma by one amma. So it's easy to look at. And you can take also a medida, therefore, of that mikvah. And there was actually a maisa, b'mei aviv shel Rabbi Tzadok, and it was during the time of Abishol ben Bitnit, where they did like all three things almost together, because what they did was they had to shutter up a window. It was an opening. And we'll see what the case was. It was a rather complex case. So they closed up a window using a tafiach, which is using the back of something that was made out of a kli cheres. Why did they have to use the back? Well, you immediately know why, right? Because the only reason somebody would want to use the back of something specifically would be because he's trying to prevent tuma from coming in. And if you would use the kli cheres facing the window where the tuma might be coming in, then it couldn't be chotzitz b'fnei tuma, because a kli cheres is mekabel tuma mitocho. But in order to make it a proper chatzitza, you put it around facing with its back to the window. So they did that. And then they tied this piece of cheres, a mekedah, with a gemi on Shabbos, which even though you're not supposed to be doing any type of tying, even if it's impermanent, But they did this for a tzarech of a mitzvah to be able to paskin halacha. Any type of psaka halacha that's nogea at the time is considered to be a medida shal mitzvah. And so the kesher is also mutter. And the measurement to see, leida im yesh begigit poteach tefach im lab. They wanted to know whether a broken barrel, sounds really crazy, but the truth is the case is really very straightforward. What happened is that there was someone dying outside of the house, and it was the bed was between two homes, and there was like this small passageway between the two houses, and there was on top of the bed to shield the individual who was in his death throes, there was this barrel, and that was, it was casting its shade on the area, and it had a hole in it. Now the question was, how large was that hole? Because what was going on was, on either side of that barrel, they had like windows going into the houses on the side, which were also under it and were being shaded. So the problem was, if the person would die, and there was not a poteach tefach in the barrel, so then the tumah would be forced to the side through the windows of the homes. So in order to avoid being metame the things in the house, they closed up, while the guy was still alive, they closed up the windows, which was the first thing that we're talking about over here, pokekita tamaor, in order to prevent the tumah from getting in. And then they wanted to know whether there was a poteach tefach in the barrel. If there had been a poteach tefach, so then the tumah anyway would have been able to go straight out and it wouldn't have spread the tumah. So they wanted to make sure they had all of their measurements in place to know what the halacha was. Anyway, this is Rashi's pshat, but Rashi admits that he does not understand the sugya in Ohalas. And because of that, he says, look, there's something about this, but I can't make heads or tails of it. So I'm just telling you the pshat as I know it. Tosfos, however, does not like this one bit. The reason he doesn't like it one bit is because he understands that in a case where a mace is directly connected to petach, as opposed to simply sealing up the top of a roof, there's a big difference in the requirement for poteach tefach. So if there's no din, says Tosfos, of poteach tefach, where the mace is directly underneath the opening. Okay, this is not our sugya. However, it's a nice introduction to where we're heading, which is going towards Ohalos. So we certainly don't want it only get stuck on Kalim, right? So we have our transition in Shabbos. The closing of Shabbos brings us already into the next sugya. So it's works out beautifully. Anyway, so...
couldn't have orchestrated it better.
Yeah, it's really nice. Okay. So it's really amazing to watch Rashi say, I can't make heads or tails of that sugya, so I don't know what to tell you. It's just amazing. It's like you're sitting there talking with Rashi. So anyway, so what they did was that they put up that shutter, and then they tied this kli cheres there, and they wanted to measure whether there was a shear in that barrel that was on top of the alleyway. Meanwhile, midivreim lamadnu, but from the actual events, and they were matir all of this, it's quite clear that where you're doing something which is in order just to be koveil what a halacha is, it doesn't have to be like mamish a mitzvah, but anything that has to do with knowing how it is that a person has to be noheg is considered to be a tzorach mitzvah, and they were matir. Iboilo. How do we read the Mishnah? Do the words bein letzorech, do the words letzorech go back on both cases? Or is hafara, which is the first case, bein letzorech, bein shelo letzorech, and it's only she'ela, which I could do at any time, obviously. So over there, I will not be allowed to do it on Shabbos as a nu of the dechol, unless it's actually a necessity for Shabbos. So therefore, she'ela obviously needs to be letzorech in shelo letzorech lo. But when it comes to hafara, then not. And that would actually be very, very reasonable. I'll tell you why. Because why did the Mishnah find it necessary to state two completely different things? Mefirim ledorim b'Shabbos, nisholim ledorim l'shem letzorach Shabbos. I mean, doesn't that pretty clearly distinguish between them instead of just putting together mefirim v'nishalim l'nedarim, right? So, I mean, it's pretty clear from the Mishnah that, yeah, these are two separate items. And that's why we separated it. So Bishumachika Miflaginu Beadani. That's why we made two clauses. Or maybe there's another issue over here. Maybe the whole thing, including Afara and She'ela, both are only doable unless it's Litzarach. Shalol Litzarach lo. So then you'll ask me, so then, okay, how do you explain the fact that they were separated? No, that I can explain. I mean, not as powerfully, but it's not a raya that this is the wrong approach. Because I could say that Adokopolik lemihadani mishum da'afora is not a tzarech bezdin, and a she'ela is tzricha bezdin. So very often, when we're talking about a halacha that has to do with what you're going to do in your home, and then a halacha as it's applicable to bezdin, we say that separately, even though it may well be that it would be the same halacha. We're addressing it to two completely different groups of who will be dealing with this halacha. Do we have a raya? Now, remember that as we explained in the Mishnah, the question is taken for granted to revolve around one simple issue. Is the yom, b'yom shamo, defined as the day till the end of the day? In which case, I have no choice but to do all my afaras on the day that I hear about them, whether or not they have something to do with Shabbos. If I happen to hear about it on Shabbos, that would then be the only way that I can be yotze my hafara. Or does miyom el yom mean does it mean miyom el yom, the yom shamo? In which case, I can wait till after Shabbos because I got 24 hours. Toshma, the Tani Zuti de Rav Papa. So Zuti from Rav Papa's Beis HaMedrash said the din is mefirim nedarim b'Shabbat, and he said it over specifically only l'tzorach Shabbat. So that would mean that you can do hafara as well after Shabbos. So that means, why did he put that over? L'tzorach Shabbat, only l'tzorach Shabbat in shelo l'tzorach Shabbat lo. Now, there's another Lashon that spells it out a little bit more clearly. This Lashon takes it all for granted that we all understand what this revolves around. If you take a look at the other Lashon, Lishna Achrina, it goes like this. Do we say that the words Litzorech in the Mishnah are a reference to both cases? And Hatar Vayukoi, they're going both on Afara and on Hatara, but both of them are Shalol Litzorech Lo. And what would be the implications of such a decision? That would mean that Hafaras Nedarim can be a full 24 hours, and that's why they have exactly the same din. Why do it on Shabbat if you could do it after Shabbat? The same thing would be true of the best, and the same thing would be true of the Yachid. Oh, Dilma, maybe the way to read the Mishnah is that the word Litzorech is referring only to the second case, which is the She'ela. Masha'in kein hafaras nedarim would be of any type of neder. And if that were the case, then what would we have to conclude? That alma hafarat nedarim are only kol hayom. They're only that same day, as long as that daylight, that daytime is there. But there's no dinner 24 hours. In which case, I will have no choice but to do my hafara on Shabbos. Over here in this Lashon, they speak out precisely what the question was. And so we bring again that same brisa in this Lashon. Tashma, the Tani Rav Zuti Devei Rav Papi, that was the brisa that he brought, Mefirin Nidarim B'Shabbat, only L'Tzorach HaShabbat, which proves only L'Tzorach HaShabbat, Shelo L'Tzorach HaShabbat Lo. And that would prove to us conclusively that hafarat Nidarim can be done May 8th, Le'eit, a full 24 hours. And therefore, I can do them after Shabbos. And since I can, I'm not limited by the day of Shabbos. So therefore, why should I do an Uvda Dechol, which is on Shabbos? Omer Ravashi, I've got a little bit of a problem from the Mishnah in Nedarim. V'anantanan, it says in Nedarim, Hafarat Nedarim Kol Hayom. It says beferish in the Mishnah that you do not have 24 hours. You only have the day, and it spells it out. It says, V'yesh b'dover l'akev l'achmir. That could mean a long time, or that could mean a short time. It does not mean, by the way, don't get confused by l'akev l'achmir, that there's some way that one day could be more chomer than 24 hours. That's ridiculous. But more kal, I mean, the 24 hours. But what we mean is that a day could be a long time, and a day could be a short time, depending on when it happened. I mean, Kate said, when did you hear? Let's say she makes a neder on the Leil Shabbat, so on Friday night, again, discussing it in terms of Shabbos, obviously it's true of any day. So then he's got the whole night, and he's got the whole rest of the day until the end of Shabbos. But let's say she made this neder 3 minutes before the end of Shabbos. Well, that's the only and he hears about it, that's the only time he's got, those 3 minutes. So then if she was Nodra im Chashecha, he only has until Mefer Atchelo Techshach. He can only do this up until the time where it was not Chashecha. And therefore, the moment im lo hefer, it's too late. Misha Chashecha eino yachol lefer. There's nothing that he can do once it's already dark. So that would be against what you just said. You just said in the Braita that Zira brought, you said that it's the opposite and that you got 24 hours. Says the Gemara, you're 100% right. But it's a machlokas tanoim, whether biyom shamo means 24 hours or biyom shamo means only till the end of the day, the Tanya. Hafarat nidarim kol hayom. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon amru, not so. It's a full me'eit le'eit. So you have your machlokas lechachomim and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, as to what the shear is. So the Mishnah, obviously, that you brought was going alib of the Tanakama. The brayso that we just brought was going alib of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon. V'nish'alim linedarim. And continues the Mishnah, you can be shoel from a chacham or from a bezdin. Now, I understand that you're saying we can do this if it's necessary for Shabbos. Very often, where we're matter something only because it's needed for Shabbos, we demand one additional thing. Namely, you did your best in order to make sure it would take place before Shabbos. So we have that same idea like Abi Chol HaMoed, let's say, right? We're going to be matter something, let's say, Tzorach HaMoed. But if you should have done it and you had plenty of time to do it before, then we're not going to be matter it. So now the question is, when it comes to a neder that we're being matter specifically because you want to be able to eat cholent, I mean, if you really wanted to be able to eat cholent, why don't you take care of the neder before Shabbos? So that's my question. Is this true that the Mishnah is going to be allowing you to be matir a neder on Shabbos, dafke kishelo ayalo pnai, where you did not have the chance to do it before Shabbos? Or is this like a blanket heter since it's l'tzorech, the tainug of Shabbos? And because of that, we're matir, we're not going to start being sticklers. Odilma afilu ayalo pnai. Well, I know of an actual case, Toshma. I know that the Rabbonin decided to go and help out Rav Zutra by Rav Zera, to help him out, get rid of a netter. They were matur netter for him. And I happen to know the case was, he could have taken it before, and he didn't. So apparently we are allowing you to do that. Okay, the next thing that we had, and that was the Maisa, where they were Pokuku at Amor Batafiach, Vikashura Tamikeda Begomi. What exactly was the case? Omer Yud Amarav, the case was, there was an alleyway, and it was a small alleyway between two of these modern suburban homes that only have a couple of feet between them. And Ilkatik Tamaheta, Ben Shnei Batim. And there was Tuma between the two Batim. And gigit seduka munachat agav, and it was a barrel, but the barrel had a crack through the barrel, and it was on the roofs of the two houses over the mace. I mean, he wasn't mace at the time, but they had put this there to provide some shade. So before he died, they were pokeketama or betafiach, just to make sure that the windows were closed with the back end of a klicheres that couldn't be makabel tuma, and then they wanted to make to check whether they're really going to be in trouble with this not being able to open the window. So kashuata mekida begemi. So then they took this other kli. There it didn't matter because it wasn't for the purposes of being matir or anything, but they knew that it was the shear of a tefach. So they stuck it up with this long reed to be able to reach the place in the barrel where the crack was, and they wanted to see leida im yesham begigit poteach tefach im lav umidivrehem lamadnu shepokakin umodedin vekosherim b'shabbes. From there, you can see that when it's letzerech halacha, you're allowed to shutter your windows, you're allowed to do measurements, you're allowed to tie a type of knot that is not permanent, but you can do it just for the purposes of medicine.